It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live.
What a song stands up after time, doesn't it?
Timeless. It's a wonderful song.
Sir Elton John, who, as you heard, played the White House in a nice little five-song set, if I'm maybe six songs, a five-song set. This was one, of course. How do you not play this? Rumors that President Biden thought it was movie night and he was watching Rocket Man are unsubstantiated. I don't believe that that's the case. I think President Biden did actually realize that Elton John was in the room.
He played six songs. This was the opening track, then Tiny Dancer, Rocket Man, of course, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, Crocodile Rock, and the closer was I'm Still Standing.
Didn't play Biden in the Jets? That would have been great.
Think that missed the list.
You ever seen Elton John in concert?
I have not.
I have had the honor. He's done his Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour, or it's on the road now. I'm not sure if it's already been through Seattle or is coming still to Seattle.
Was it the case that he was going to tour that and then it got paused due to the pandemic? Is that why this seems like an extended farewell for him?
I think maybe so. I think he was doing a farewell tour that was cut short due to crowds being locked out of shows. Yeah. I saw Elton John play with Billy Joel on the Dueling Pianos tour. Phenomenal tour. And from what I've understood afterwards, as history kind of told the tale of these two legends deciding to perform together, it was when Billy Joel was at one of his lowest personal moments, post-Christy Brinkley, struggle with addiction, alcohol addiction, I believe it was. I'm not sure if it was more than alcohol, but I know it was alcohol. And Elton John, who is famously clean and sober for decades, actually, we mentioned the Rocket Man movie in jest, but that was part of the Rocket Man movie's storyline, was Elton John's troubles with personal choices and addictions and lifestyle and deciding to lead a clean and sober and healthier and happier life. And Elton John and Billy Joel toured together, and in part so that Elton John could help Billy Joel see what a clean and sober life could offer, you know, and show him that it didn't have to be what he had always been doing and getting what he had always been getting. And it was phenomenal. They'd have two pianos, you know, nose to nose, and they'd play their classics back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. At one point in the show, Billy Joel played an Elton John song. Elton John played a Billy Joel song. It was wonderful. And then, if I'm not mistaken,
what songs did they switch on? Which one did they do?
You know, Matt, I apologize. I don't remember. It was a lot of weed involved at that time in my personal journey. You know, I don't remember.
I feel too bad. When I hear the term joint expansion in the news, I think of something else entirely.
I try to make a weed joke, too. It's like I said, I'm a 12-year-old, and I always will be. I'll find out. I'll do some digging and find out for you. I should have known that. You know, I didn't think I was going to talk about Elton John and Billy Joel. But it's nice that Elton John is invited to the White House. I'm sure there'll be critics on the other side saying, why is Biden wasting his time having people at the White House? But, you know, hey, you know, if you can have a Kid Rock show and a Ted Nugent show, you can have a Billy Joel and an Elton John show, rather.
Wasn't that the photo, the trio of Kid Rock, Sarah Palin, and Ted Nugent?
Yes, exactly. And I believe Trump was the fourth on their White House debate team. It was Trivia Night. Trivia Night, that's what it was, yeah. White House Trivia Night.
Just a little social gathering.
Yeah, a meeting of the minds. I really wanted to say something different there. But
I never really suspected Donald Trump to have much taste in music, and with that move, he proved it. Boom.
You know, I wonder what music our former president does enjoy. To be fair, and to be you know, open minded about things, I wonder.
Yeah, I'm actually seriously curious because I love not profiling people exactly, but I love to find out what different people are into and
sometimes
it's surprising. Like Paul Ryan somehow digs Rage Against the Machine. I think he just tunes out the lyrics.
He must not really, one of those people who just really hasn't paid attention and listened to the song, because I don't think Tommy really is into what you're into there, Paul. Paul Ryan, who used to work out and, you know, post pictures of himself all ripped up with a 15-pound barbell in his hands. Real man's man. Anyway, I'd like to know what the former president was into musically. wonder if there's a fan out there of the former president who still is able to listen to this show after 2 months of realizing that this is not a Trump support group.
Well, he kept picking songs and then getting them yanked off of his campaign appearance. I think there was a Tom Petty song that he was trying to use. YMCA by the Village People? Wasn't that one of his? No, Macho Man. Macho Man.
Really?
That was, no, seriously. He was playing that at rallies. I kid you not. This is not something I made up. Not fake news.
No. I hear you. And there's been many songs that have been used at various campaign rallies, not just by former President Trump or former President Reagan, where the artist actually had to speak up and say, hey, stop using my music. Stop co-opting my music for your message. Because, you know, we don't have the same values. And that's, you know, everybody's got the right to have their own values and opinions. I'd be interested to know what the former president was musically, what his tastes were musically. Huh. Oh, a text or steps. That's wonderful. A joint session of Congress is
the
a
Rolling
bunch of
Stones were not a fan of him
that's
using
right.
You can't always,
get what you want. That's
which
right.
Which was a weird, and this is not a criticism of Trump per se, but it's just a strange pick for a campaign song. It seems a little morbid for a campaign rally.
Yeah, you can't. Well, yeah, completely. It's weird how people pick music for campaigns. Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow was a Clinton?
Yes, and Clinton was actually a Fleetwood Mac fan.
Yeah.
Like, that was a pretty reasonable fit and spoke to the optimism of America. So I thought that was actually a really good choice.
Yeah, and I don't think they had any problem with the Clintons.
Did they play inauguration or something, or am I completely off base?
Well, I don't know. Can't remember what Elton John and Billy Joel played. I think I remember who played the Clinton inauguration, first or second Clinton inauguration. I couldn't tell you. I know the Three Doors Down played the Trump inauguration.
Must have been like the world's shortest set ever. Did they play their two hits and leave?
A medley of their hit. Yes. Yes, I know. I'm sorry. Hey, a texter did text in and said, you guys might not get to this tonight, but do you have any idea why gas prices have spiked in the last 2 days? And I've noticed that around town, too. A lot of people have been mentioning that. What's with the sudden, after 100 straight days of fuel prices dropping? And we all know that it was, you know, horrific summer for gas prices, just horrific. But then there was some relief due to the president tapping the federal gas reserve, dipping into that and various other factors, an international pool of resources that were put together for all countries to buy from. That was where the story that Biden was selling gas to the Chinese came from, which couldn't have been more not further from the truth, but couldn't have been more misrepresented in the elements of that story. The story of the International Petroleum Reserve was that the top producing petroleum-producing countries in the world all contributed to this pool of petroleum resources, gasoline, that any country in the world could buy from to help offset the loss of the Russian contribution to the world's fuel market. Part of the aftermath of Russia's invasion to Ukraine was that there was a global boycott of Russian fuel, which led to a lot of the inflation that we saw and still see. So that was where that story came from about the China fuel thing. From what I've read, to answer the texter's question, why fuel prices have gone up of late in the last 2 days, it is, from what I see, trifold. The escalation or the threatened escalation of the conflict in Russia, in Ukraine, I should say, the Russian-Ukraine war, from President Putin, Vladimir Putin, threatening to go nuclear, and he made no small, you know, it wasn't a veiled threat. You know, he will use any weapon system available, and I'm not kidding. I'm serious, you know, mentions the potential, plus calling up 300,000 troops, initiating a draft in Russia to help, you know, try to push back on the horrific the failures of the Russian army. And it's an invasion of Ukraine. I mean, we can debate who's going to win the war and how it's even going. And that can all be speculated upon as per how you view the news, where you get your news from.
I know I've said this before, but I am baffled by Americans who defend Vladimir Putin. I don't get why that shift took place where our rational distrust of Russian corruption and Russian authority has suddenly become, oh, we're going to defend a guy who kills journalists and wages war on innocent people.
Well, it's not sudden. I can remember seeing campaign stops for then-candidate Trump, and literally folks in his crowd with T-shirts on the side, I'd rather vote for a Russian than a Democrat. You know, so it's not sudden. I think there's always a pushback against the current administration, whichever party is in power. So if President Biden speaks out against Russia,
then I'm going to be for Russia. It's a binary thing where I just have to be opposed.
Right. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
And that's a real simplistic way to look at it. There may be other factors. I don't know.
I've seen fundamentalists in this country, no disrespect to people of faith, but I've seen some fundamentalists defend Vladimir Putin as a defender of family values. Never mind that he has people assassinated. Wow. Murder as a virtue. Who knew?
Didn't somebody else just fall down a set of stairs to their death recently, too? Like the former head of the Russian avionics division of their government or something?
Yes, I mean, somebody who was higher up.
Yeah.
It displeased
the
head man.
Big Vlad. So it's the escalation of the Ukrainian war is one of the reasons gas prices have skyrocketed in the last couple of days. Second is the bigger inflation numbers than expected for August that came out. So the economy is still hurting in America. Our economy, inflation is still a crippling factor for a lot of families. That's the second factor. And then there's Hurricane Fiona on the East Coast, which, as you heard in Lisa's news report, just wreaked havoc on first Haiti and the Dominican Republic and then Bermuda, and now is moving its way up the eastern seaboard toward eastern Canada. I think Governor DeSantis declared states of emergency in 12 counties in Florida. And then as Canada's bracing for what may be the worst storm ever to hit eastern Canada. So those three factors. Anytime there's a natural factor of a hurricane, those kind of things always lead to an increase in fuel prices because there's speculation that production will be disrupted because of the hurricane. So that's why weather factors sometimes. So when you kick in inflation, possible nuclear war and a hurricane, that's why you're going to get gasoline price spikes in the last couple of days. So thought I'd answer that texter who called in or texted in. Anybody who wants to text in, we'd love to hear from you. 888-973-5476.
In a lighter note, I checked out a list of music stars who did not want Trump to use their songs at campaign rallies.
Okay.
Axl Rose was not a fan, fired off a series of tweets accusing Trump of using licensing loopholes to ignore his requests.
Sweet Child of Mine? Really?
Yep.
No. I was kidding when I made this.
No, that's the one.
Sweet Child of Mine at a campaign rally?
Yeah. Well, here's a shocker. You'll be surprised to learn that Neil Young did not want Trump using his songs.
Keep on Rocking in the Free World?
Rocking in the Free World, yes. And also, he tweeted he was not okay with Trump playing both that song and Like a Hurricane at Mount Rushmore.
Oh, wow.
Prince, his estate, had to warn Trump to not use his music.
For Raspberry Beret, which is a staple of a Trump rally?
Purple Rain.
No.
which again.
Purple Rain?
The tempo of these songs, like as a former DJ and music enthusiast, I am bothered not by the politics of this. I am bothered by the tempo. This is bad mood setting. It's irking me. Okay, so Adele, Rolling in the Deep and Skyfall. Really? Who is picking these songs? The Stones, of course.
Well, somebody could make money with a casino. That's who's putting the playlist together for his three times. Couldn't make a casino make money.
REM was not pleased.
It's the End of the World, We Know It?
Yes.
They were playing that at a campaign rally?
Yes. At the End of the World, As We Know It, played while Trump walked up to the podium. I need a word.
Wow.
I need a word with his music director.
It's the End of the World.
Seriously.
And here comes Trump to the podium? That's just bad optics.
In a timely reference to tonight, Elton John turned down the chance to perform at Trump's inauguration. Before that, he publicly denounced any use of his songs for Trump's benefit. And Queen also did not want We Are the Champions used.
Okay, I can believe that.
Steven Tyler of Aerosmith did not like Trump playing Dream On. Unlike other similar demands, Trump publicly announced that he would stop. Because even though he has the legal right to use Steven Tyler's song, according to him, he asked me not to. Trump tweeted, have a better one to take its place.
Yeah, okay. I believe that when I hear it. But I won't be at a rally, so I won't hear it, so that's funny.
And finally, the OJs. Lead vocalist Eddie LaVert spoke out in 2016. Trump was using Love Train at his rallies.
Really?
He said, I wish him the best, but I don't think he's the man to run our country. So when he started using Love Train, I called him up and told him, listen, man, I don't believe in what you're doing. I'm not with you. Don't use my voice. I'm not condoning what you do. I love the OJs even more now.
Yeah, I know, right? So did we ever find out if anybody ever asked Bill or Hillary not to play their music or asked Obama?
Let me see here.
Anyone? ABBA asked John McCain not to use Don't Take a Chance on Me. I'm looking for anybody, and I can't find anybody who's Al Green's Let's Stay Together asked Mitt Romney not to use his music.
I think the Obama campaign was such a cultural phenomenon that people really loved having their music used by his campaign.
Yeah.
Wow. Somebody from the text line said Bush Jr. wanted to use Fortunate Son.
Oh,
by CCR.
Wow. Really?
Eddie Vedder had to explain what the song meant.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my.
You know, it's funny. I don't mean to be picking sides, folks. I'm trying to be as bipartisan as I can here. But as we look through a list of historically bands that asked politicians to stop using their music, I don't see any Democrats.
Have you seen Obama's playlist? He's actually a music fan.
I haven't.
He has some seriously good musical taste. And I say that as someone who, well, to brag on myself, but duh.
You got pretty eclectic taste. I think Obama's got taste. John McCain was asked by the Foo Fighters to stop using My Hero. Hart asked Sarah Palin to stop using Barracuda. I would think Barracuda would be perfect for her and they wouldn't mind her using it. I don't know.
Want to have any association with Sarah Palin?
I guess. You know, Don't Stop Believin' by Journey, that Newt Gingrich was asked to stop using that one. Wow, I don't see any.
Trying to be bipartisan.
We are, but I don't see any. If you can, if texters, if you know of a Democrat who was asked to stop using a song, let us know. It's Kyra Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill. That's Matt Butler. We're glad you're here. We'll be back shortly. Don't go anywhere.
People say you're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm
old blue
gonna
eyes.
Change that tune.
So a texter sent us this
when
tip.
Back on top,
welcome back to Kyra back Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill. Matt Butler's on the board picking the music tonight and every night.
That's life.
And we asked what the personal musical choices tastes of the former president, Donald J. Trump, may have been, and we didn't know. We genuinely wanted to know. Not a pejorative interest, just a genuine curiosity. A guy who doesn't have a pet and doesn't, you know, I mean, first off, I think everybody ought to have a pet. I don't get folks who don't like animals. I don't get folks who animals don't like. If my dog doesn't like you, I trust my dog. That's kind of a standard in my life. Again, whatever. Everybody can have their own beliefs. Someone said that Donald Trump likes Frank Sinatra, was a fan of Frank Sinatra.
That wouldn't surprise
me. No, of course not. You know, a New Yorker, Sinatra, of course, Jersey boy from Hoboken, if I'm not mistaken. And speaking of New Jersey, it's Bruce Springsteen's birthday. All you folks who said you'd tune out if I mentioned it again. It's been an hour. Get over it. We haven't played Bruce in a while. We may do it again before the end of the night. You know, it's funny. We were talking about the music of political campaigns and, you know, folks being asked to stop using my music on campaigns. And there's a long history of that. it's not current. It's not recent. It goes back decades and decades and decades. And we found a texter who told us that there was, in fact, a Democrat who was asked to stop using music from a certain artist. It was President Obama's campaign, right? Was it the first?
I do believe it was the 08 campaign.
08 campaign. Yes. And it was the Sam and Dave, Hold On, I'm Coming?
Right. Sam Moore, I believe, in particular, didn't want to be seen as endorsing a candidate.
Okay. So it wasn't against the policies of Obama or the Democratic Party, which a lot of the artists who asked President Trump to stop using and still continue to ask President Trump to stop using their music. I think Dee Snider from Twisted Sister has to continually tell President Trump not to play, you know, we're not going to take it at his rallies.
In something of an ironic twist, Sam Moore actually was scheduled for Trump's inauguration.
Say that again?
According to this article, Sam Moore, which is half of the legendary Stax duo Sam and Dave, was added to the lineup of acts scheduled for Trump's inaugural festivities.
Axed from the lineup?
No, acts scheduled.
Acts. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. If I could talk, I'd be really good at this.
No.
Think having the ability to speak would be a prerequisite for radio, but not necessarily.
And a texter also sends in this message. Did you know, Spike, that Sinatra was a lefty liberal? I hope you don't mean that as an insult to the late, great Frank Sinatra.
I seem to recall doing a little reading on Sinatra's politics. I think he was mostly a Republican for part of his life, but he was a big JFK supporter. I don't know if that means he was a very liberal person on the whole. Although I did read an interview with him where he expressed some pretty humanist and tolerant sentiments, so I don't know.
Well, Lisa, and I hope you don't mind me mentioning this, Lisa Brooks also mentioned during the commercial break that that Frank Sinatra was a liberal. And I think it's probably, if I can assume on Lisa's behalf, that the Sinatra-Kennedy connection was due in large part to Joe Kennedy, JFK's father, who was slimy as they come. Guy, no disrespect intended when I say slimy as they come. I mean that with all due respect. But, the Kennedy political machine that got his boy elected seems to have, you know, that's when, you know, Chicago politics, vote early, vote often. I think that was one of the things that got Kennedy over the hump to become the first Catholic elected president in this country. And that was doing something back in the 60s to have a Catholic elected president, because the fear was that all the government policies would be then called by the Catholic Church. All these policies would be dictated directly from the Vatican, that President John F. Kennedy would be a puppet of the Vatican, and the Catholic religion would be calling the shots in America, which is the last thing we wanted, because we had a clear separation of church and state, and that no official recognized religion was a cornerstone of American democracy. Don't jump ahead, Matt. Don't jump ahead. but could we pine for those days again, right?
See, I think you know what's coming.
Yeah, I mean, and by all means, bud, this is your take the shot. Take the shot, brother. You're behind the three-point line. You're nobody's guarding you. Take the shot.
How interesting is it that we went from that concern about John F. Kennedy to electing someone who, regardless of your particular personal belief in religion, but certain people regard as a godsend, somebody who made the Ten Commandments a checklist of things to do.
Well, and it's become a litmus test. In from the Heritage Foundation, they will only nominate Supreme Court nominees who are pro-life. That was a tenet of, you know, that organization. And all the judges that were appointed during the Trump administration came from a list directly from, you know, the Heritage Foundation. And it seems like we've gone in completely the other direction. That religion should not be a litmus test for how we govern and who gets to make the rules and decisions regarding the lives of all Americans.
So many things I could say, but that's the correct use of ironic.
It is. It absolutely is. And to be fair, you know, President Trump is, of course, not a liberal anymore. There was a time when the former president, former Republican president, old 45, donated heavily to Democratic candidates. But that, you know, everybody evolves and changes their tune. So, you know, President Trump may enjoy Sinatra, and Sinatra may have been a liberal, but they're both, you know, misogynistic womanizers, so maybe they have that in common. That's from a texter. I'm just reading that verbatim. Oh, that's me texting me in my own show. Look at that. Oh, my. Oh, well. Anywho. you know. And
It's interesting, the dichotomies in taste. And it's very interesting to me, having programmed music radio, how there's certain things that you would think, and this, admittedly this is stereotypical, but you would think certain bands, because when I was growing up, you kind of defined yourself by your subculture, the music that you listened to.
Yeah.
If you were into goth or grunge or techno, or you were rave or whatever,
right,
you were very much identifying yourself with a certain subculture.
Yeah.
And your musical taste. Your musical taste kind of defined your peer group and
absolutely
your attitude, your style.
Absolutely.
And so I was really surprised when I got into programming music how many artists with liberal sensibilities were favored by conservative people. And I was like, I was very interested, because I guess it shows that music can unite us, but also in some cases I was really surprised that they weren't put off by what the songs actually said. It's an interesting thing about people.
Yeah. It's funny, because when you think of, you know, conservative artists and the artists who support conservative views, and I want to just pick out President Trump or anybody, you know, Republicans, but conservative views, you tend to think of country artists. They seem to be more in tune with the priorities and sensibilities of a conservative electorate, a conservative political base. You know, I watched a nice interview with Trace Adkins last week, who's got a TV show on called Monarch, I believe, right?
With Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
That must be some interesting offset conversation.
That came up, you know, in the interview. Trace Adkins was asked, do you and Susan Sarandon ever mix it up politically? And he said, no, it's very professional. They enjoy each other's company on set. A couple of times, as the news dictates, a comment will be made at the beginning of the day from Ms. Sarandon to Mr. Adkins. But then it will be, you know, it won't. There's no arguments. There's no deep debates. They're there to work and be professional, and they're able to do so. But, you know, Southern rock seems to all be of the conservative fan base, you know. Country music seems to be of the conservative fan base. And maybe I'm stereotypical and generalizing to a fault here and putting everybody into one, you know, basket, which
no
may
major
not be fair.
Names are coming to mind right now. But
for conservative artists?
Well, I think there's a few. Joe Perry of Aerosmith
is a conservative.
Side. He's a Republican. Yes.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah. Very
interesting
open about that.
I wonder if that's why Trump felt he had the ability to use a Aerosmith song and was asked not to by Stephen.
And why he was so upset.
Yeah.
He reacted
well,
to it.
You know,
he doesn't usually react to them, but that one he had to tweet about.
I've met Joe Perry and Steven Tyler on numerous occasions throughout the course of my radio career, and they're great guys.
Alice Cooper,
very conservative.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yep.
But also
absolutely.
Also very much a gentleman. Like,
yes.
Like there are a lot of these guys. I think Adkins is one of them, as compared to, say, John Rich, where they don't really actively get out there on cable news and mix it up and start throwing a lot of the verbal punches.
Well, I've had the unfortunate experience of seeing John Rich's social media activity, and he's all in.
He is very vocal.
But you know what, though, and to his defense and his credit, know your audience, know what they're into, know what their passions are, know what they're passionate about.
But that's a fascinating thing in country music, though, because we're seeing now, especially a lot of the female country artists, that are standing up and saying, no, this establishment does not speak to us. The stereotypes that you have of country and roots music in Nashville don't really apply to us, and we're becoming more vocal about it. Several artists were going against Jason Aldean's wife. He's
right.
A major mainstream country
and
star.
And Maren Martin is the artist.
Maren Morris.
Yes. Excuse me. I don't know the genre. I apologize to you country fans.
Definitely.
Maren Morris. And she actually said that she would not be attending the CMA Awards.
Right.
Because she didn't feel comfortable being near Jason Aldean's wife.
Yes.
And I believe she responded to a comment from a social media post. And it's one thing, you know, when you've got a massive social media following because of your celebrity and you make social commentaries, political commentaries, you better be ready to, you know, if you jump in the ring, you better have your gloves on.
Indeed, but it is nice to see some people breaking stereotypes in a genre that hasn't always been the most inclusive.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with more. And it would be great if more people could have differing views and not vilify and hate the other side.
Imagine that.
Pre-Civil War, when the other side became an enemy of the state, an enemy of the country, someone who didn't love their country. That was what led up to the Civil War. Each side viewed the other side as someone who hated their country. And I fear that we'd be becoming dangerously close, if not already skirting and dancing and flirting with that sentiment right now.
Some theorists call it a cold Civil War, as is right now.
That's what I've heard that term used as well. It's 8:45, Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill. That's Matt Butler. We hope you're enjoying the conversation, even if you vehemently disagree with it. We'd appreciate your comments. We'd love to hear feedback from you on anything we have to talk about. Anything you'd like to talk about, 888-973-5476. We'll be right back after these.
Just too good. There's a certain level of quality which you can't rise above.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights, folks. I'm sure we can all agree, despite our differences, that is a great song.
The great Al Green.
You betcha, man. So, are you a skier, Matt?
I am not.
I wasn't a skier until... I don't want to say late in life, but later than most folks begin skiing. I didn't start skiing until I was 30. And I didn't start skiing until I had an opportunity to go to Norway, Lillehammer, Norway, to cover the Lillehammer Winter Olympics in 1994. The radio station I was on at the time had us go over, sponsored by Coca-Cola, to broadcast live from downtown Lillehammer during the Olympics, one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And my father-in-law, God rest his soul, who just lost him last year, decided that it would be just an absolute crime if I went to Norway and didn't ski. My father-in-law was a skier, and he a great guy, and taught telemark skiing, which is the open heel style of skiing, and taught crevasse rescue into his 60s and 70s. And he decided I should learn how to ski before I went to Norway. And he did. He bought me used ski gear for Christmas and took me up to Snoqualmie Pass on Wednesday nights for 6 straight weeks and taught my large, chubby, out of shape, uncoordinated self how to ski. And I picked up skiing and safely, you know, I could ski safely. And then I went to Norway in the Olympics. And on an off day in the middle of the Olympics, I rented a pair of skis, got on a bus, went outside of town to a little city called Hafjell, and did a couple runs in Norway and got pictures from my father-in-law, and that was that. I bring it up because I skied safely. I didn't do anything crazy, and you know, I did the baby slope. I was holding my own with other 4-year-olds on this hill in Norway. And you know, it's getting to be ski season soon. We're going to have, by all accounts, a pretty decent snowpack this year. We had a very wet spring, and so far not an excessively hot summer. We should have a good snow season, good ski season this year. Mount Bachelor is proud to announce that their Skyliner Express chairlift will be back open this year. It was sidelined last year due to mechanical failure. Really crippled the mountain's ability to service their patrons. That's good news. Also announced by Mount Bachelor is that they're going to have an increase in prices. Unless you're willing to waive the liability for Mount Bachelor. If you're willing to ski at Mount Bachelor on your own risk factor dime, if you sign the waiver of liability for injury, you get a little price break at Mount Bachelor. And they're going to increase their prices this year. That was announced.
Here's the problem. The money that you save will not pay your medical bills, nor will it pay your family if you Sonny Bono it into a tree.
Let's talk more about this for when we come back. We're up against it right now. We're going to take a break, come right back. We'll talk more about whether it's worthwhile to release somebody from liability for the fun things you want to do in life. There's a lot of ways to look at that and a lot of ways to peel an onion. We'll be right back at Cairo Nights.